I hear that.
I knew we were in trouble when I was like, Sigurd, and he was like, you're a fucking nerd.
That was so funny.
Dude, you looked at me, the look on your face was like, what the fuck?
Oh my God. I'm like,
okay,
because I knew he was lit, man.
What are you talking about? Nerd, you're fucking nerd.
And he didn't get what...
FaceTime audio. I have a phone. You're screaming.
That was so goddamn funny in retrospect, because I'm like, this is going to be long.
It's long to listen to, I'm like, oh, well, take a break from this one and come back later.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, it's Tall But True. I'm Ben Bailey here with co-host and good friend, Mr. DC Benny.
Hey, everybody. Dude, it is great to be here. It's great to be here.
We're reminiscing. Some days, a day at work is harder than others.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
If your guest is a drunk sailor, sometimes you got a little extra work to do. I hope you're listening, Sigurd, you bastard.
Yeah.
You fucking nerd! You're a fucking nerd! That's got to make the highlight reel.
Oh, yeah, that is great, man. That was like, when that happened, we knew it was going to be rough waters. Rough waters. But we have a great guest today. We have a great guest today.
My co-host from Speaking of Movies.
Aha.
Another co-star of Blam.
Aha.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's your character's name?
The girl.
The girl?
The girl, right?
A lot of creativity went into the naming. Evil villain, guard number one.
Yes.
The girl.
Yeah.
There's really only one character who has a name.
Masavia.
Blam. Yeah. We need Masavia on the back porch immediately. It's Emma Gleason.
Yay.
Hey, hooray, guys. Thanks.
Emma Gleason has listened to pretty much every episode of Tall But True.
I have.
We were just saying that's how we started talking about Sig's episode.
Yeah.
She was like, I tuned out when Sig was boring me to death.
The hail of invective.
I'll have to just skip the rest of that episode and come in on the next one, I think, and catch up.
That sounds good. And you know Sig.
I do.
You've met Sig. You know what it is to...
Yes, I've experienced that sea captain in person a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I've had enough drunk Sig in my life.
He's pretty... He's
arg.
Yeah. He has to be wrangled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has to be managed.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, those guys have had that from Discovery all these years with the show. They have somebody there going, hey, you can't fucking do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to get arrested or, you know. So if they don't, they're like,
well, I think
there's no one holding me back now.
Yeah.
It seems like all their restraint goes into the time out on the ocean, on the boat.
Yeah.
It's like all that's
they
like,
use it all up.
Yeah, it's life and death stuff. So if they're not.
Yeah, and there's no fucking around. There's no drinking. There's no smoking.
Yeah. And then
weed. There's no.
Yeah. If they're not focused, then really bad stuff happens.
Yeah.
So then they just completely let loose on land as far as I've seen and heard.
So next time we do the interview on an actual boat.
We do it on a boat.
Yeah, you do it when they're out at sea.
We do it while he's on the boat. That's how Deadliest Catch started.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they were like, the only time these guys are sober enough to be on TV is when they're at work. These crazy sea captains.
And then they're just highly caffeinated.
Yeah, but great, loyal dudes, all those guys. They've been good friends of mine now for years.
That's great, too.
Barrel of fun. Next episode, we got another one, Jonathan Hillstrand. Will be our guest on the next episode.
I like Jonathan.
Yeah. He's a sweetheart.
Yeah, he is.
I always said about him, he's like the toughest and the sweetest dude ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's been in so many fights, the guy.
Yeah.
He's just a tough son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But he'll call me and be like, hey, I was just thinking about you.
Tender moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I only see the sweet side of him, fortunately. So that works for me.
So what are we talking about?
Yeah.
You have some classic stories that I know of. I think you've picked one.
Yeah. I don't know. One just came to mind. There was one I was thinking of, but you guys have told stories about breaking the law and
sure, that's
and
come
cops
up,
and things. So
recurring
I was like,
theme.
You could sell that one if you want.
No,
I think one. You could tell a few.
I think I'll tell the other one. It's got a little bit of backstory.
You have some great stories, and I think you often don't realize it, but you entertain me
probably
with your stories, and
my story's...
Emma's also my girlfriend, everybody.
Yeah.
And we've been living together for years. But once in a while, I'll be like on the verge of a meltdown. Like when we were late getting to a club and we're stuck in traffic.
Mm.
And
sounds familiar, yeah.
And you have saved me by by telling me either a long version of a joke or, you know, or a great, you know, some great story.
Particular occasion, stuck in traffic in LA.
Yeah.
And I told you one of my dad's jokes that was one of my favorites as a kid.
It's a great joke.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was that day. It saved me. I was freaking out.
It's
traffic
crazy.
In LA could make lose my mind.
Madden.
Oh yeah. Make anyone lose their mind.
Yeah. A lot of your stories seem to involve your dad.
Yeah. Yeah. I think most of them.
Yeah. Which is cool.
Yeah. But this one does too. Little bit of background. I grew up in country New South Wales in Australia. Everyone always asks where, even when they don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
But
where in Australia? And then you tell them, and they're like, so
where's that?
Where's that?
Yeah.
Is it Wales in England?
Yeah, this is new. This is the New South version.
Yeah.
Yeah. So New South Wales is the state that Sydney is in, and Dubbo, where I grew up, was 5 hours northwest driving from Sydney. So...
Dubbo.
Some people might call it outback there. I think it's probably on the edge of the outback.
Right.
Like it's semi-arid.
So the outback is literally outback for you.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're right on the edge.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And the other part is like facing a kind of city-ish area or like...
Well, I mean, you drive from Sydney and you drive a couple of hours and then you drive through the mountains, which is the Great Dividing Range. You've got to go over that. And when you come down on the other side of that, things... are a lot drier because basically the clouds don't make it over the mountains so well, so we don't get a lot of rain inland, but on the coast they get a lot more. And then the further you drive, the drier it gets, so you keep driving another like 3 hours from there and you'll hit Dubbo, and it's termed semi-arid. And
I bet it feels more than semi-arid.
Yeah,
it was hot.
I mean, this is
dry, really dry.
Rural,
heat.
We would refer
yeah,
to
it's
that
wheat,
area.
Wheat and sheep farming.
It's way out there.
Sheep farming. That's all you really need to say.
And some sheep farming. And dust and dust storms, like you know, kind of stuff. Like my brother growing up, I think he was two or so, and it started raining one day, and he started crying. Because he didn't know what it was.
Wow.
Suddenly there was like water coming from the sky. And in his living memory, he hadn't seen that.
For a broken pipe somewhere.
So, I'm going to have to ask him about that.
I don't know that he
Give
remembers.
Give him a hard time.
But I remember mom
That's
telling
funny.
Me that.
It just rains so seldom.
Yeah.
What is happening? That's
running.
Like when you send pictures.
Get in the house!
Yeah, get inside. Water! It's coming from the sky.
Yeah.
When you send back pictures or share pictures... of the snow and everything here, they're always everyone's always very interested on the Australian end. Like, wow, what's that white stuff that Ben's spreading on the driveway? Salt?
Yeah.
Salt?
It still fascinates me. Mm. It's still crazy every year, the snow.
Yeah.
Very different from what I grew up with. But, so my dad grew up out that way, even further out,
yeah,
in a place called Canamble.
Canamble. I love the
Ben,
name.
I was going to say, Ben loves the names.
They're hilarious.
And
they're like, it's like Dr. Seuss named the whole place.
Yeah, he was born in Canoundra, which is like a little village, and spelled Can-O-Windra. People come, we came through Can-O-Windra on the way.
No.
That's ridiculous. That's Canoundra.
That'd be Canoundra.
That's funny that people mispronounce things.
Yeah.
And
then,
if you know what they are, it's ridiculous to
like
you.
Like Worcestershire or whatever.
Yeah.
So then like my grandfather was a property manager. So he was basically a farmer. Outside of Canamble, and my dad and his brothers and sisters all sort of went off to boarding school because there just wasn't schools that could take them, you know, once they got to a certain age. Local schools, because it's pretty small there.
Was there like a schoolhouse for all the kids up to a certain age, and then they had to go off?
For my mom, there was a schoolhouse that was K through 12, all the kids all in one room, one teacher.
Right. Yeah.
She was
Little
like
House
a
on the Prairie yeah. style.
Small place, yeah. But then she got sent away to boarding school when she went to into high school, which is year seven. Seventh grade for us in Australia.
So young.
So, yeah. I mean, she lived outside of town, but she was at boarding school anyway. But my dad was, you know, it was a big long train ride all the way to Dubbo, where I grew up, and then all the way to Bathurst from there. So it was like an overnight sort of trip on the train for him to get to school and back. But, wow. Yeah.
Which Dubbo's another great name.
I Dubbo. Like
that. Yeah.
Dubbo.
It means red earth.
Mm,
Yeah. Oh, I love the look on DC's face just then. That was awesome. I wish you guys could have seen that. Yeah. Yeah, so it's in the local Aboriginal language, it means red earth. And the dirt, it's like really red clay, like sort of dry soil there.
That's cool.
So
it's red earth.
Yeah,
right there. Yeah. And there's a zoo, the Western
yes.
Plains Zoo.
Yeah, that's the big attraction.
Kind of what it's known for, right?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing all around until you like get to Sydney.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, the big Western Plains Zoo, which is an awesome zoo because it's like, it's not open plain like you know an African safari, but you can drive through it and you drive to the different exhibits, or you can bike, or you can walk, but it's a long way to walk around.
So there are huge exhibits that the animals are in.
Yeah.
And you're actually inside them?
No, the exhibits, you just go
just
to
right
a viewing area, a bit like
when
we go to the zoo here and see the giraffes, you're often up a bit higher and you can see out and see them sort of roaming, not free, but like in a big open space, which is cool.
Right.
Especially for the really big animals.
Yeah.
To have some good space like that. And they do a lot of conservation stuff, and they work with Taronga Zoo in Sydney and stuff. So, but that was the thing to do
on
the weekend
the
when I was a kid was, like there wasn't really anything else. If it was like someone's birthday, we'd have a picnic at the zoo.
Right. Every event is at the zoo. Graduation is at the zoo.
Well, we didn't do graduations.
No big event for graduations?
No, nobody. I don't know anyone in Australia
so funny,
who does. It's just
so
like
more of an American.
Yeah,
I can never predict the things that are going to be different.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, yeah, we don't do that. Like, really? That's such a staple here.
It's like everyone graduates.
Everyone here. Well, there's the difference.
Yeah.
Right. Here, it's a celebration if you make it.
Yeah.
There, it's expected.
I don't know. Nowadays, everybody seems to be celebrating graduation from preschool and kindergarten. Maybe that's happening in Australia now too. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
But but we just go for like mum's birthday or something or whatever, or just for the weekend, just for that was the only sort of real entertainment. So we spent a lot of time at the zoo. But I don't know where so dad.
Talking about your dad.
Yeah, dad growing up in the country, he was very insistent on teaching us certain things. And one of them was how to get out of a river if you got in a river and you got stuck. And the other one was how to get out of a rip if you got caught in the ocean. Because we would go to the beach, you know, for our holidays usually. So Dad would always be telling, he would tell us over and over and over again, if you ever get stuck in a river, don't swim against the current. You got to go with it and make your way to the side. Swim to the side.
Good to know.
We were like, and we'd be like, I know, Dad, I know. We know. Yep, we know.
I did not know that.
And then, you know, if you
you're bringing out DC's inner Aussie.
Sorry. I've been waiting all year to do this.
Oh, it's all right.
It happens to me too.
Yeah.
When I was talking to Tony,
a lot.
Dude, it's the best accent.
To the head of it's any accent though can do it to you.
Yeah.
Guy from Lion TV is British.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get on the phone, I'm always like, hello. I'm like, I shouldn't do that. But he always gets on. He's like, hello, Ben. I'm like, hello, Tony. I can't help it.
I do it with my friend from New Zealand, Mitt. I say, hi, Mitt. It's Emma.
Emma.
And he says, hi, Emma. It's Mitt.
Total tangent.
So, and then the other one was, like, if you get stuck in a rip in the ocean and you get taken out the back, you know, again, you don't fight it. You don't try and swim against it. You just exhaust yourself. You just let it take you out, and then you swim parallel to the beach, and then you slowly, as you get past the rip, then you can make your way back in to the shore.
Right.
So we got that over and over and over. I'm like, yeah, I know,
he just kept telling you that?
Yeah. So
a squirrel just ran by everybody.
Not just in the house.
Not inside. Just right outside the window.
Outside the window.
It's a zoo. We have our own zoo going on right here. No, by the way, notice the little prints all over the window.
Oh, there's the groundhog.
Raccoons. Oh, is there a groundhog out there?
Yeah, he's down.
Oh, yeah, he's down by the, where is he?
You have to lean forward, DC, to see him.
It's a nature show.
He's on,
here.
He's on his bed. It is a bit
this
like
this isn't
it.
Just a storytelling podcast. It's the world's worst nature show.
It's a nature show you can't enjoy. Look at all the shit you can't see.
Oh, my goodness.
And we'll
that's
just
the
talk
most
about
beautiful
like,
bird I've ever seen.
Some really mundane animals. There he is, everyone.
It's a Yeti.
The common gray squirrel. You can't see him, so just imagine a squirrel.
It's great.
Cool. Yes. So we would go in our holidays either to Queensland, to the beach, or when we got older, we would go to one of the northern beaches in Sydney called Manly. Which
Manly
is
Beach. It's an awesome beach.
Yeah.
I've been lucky enough to go with you guys a few times. I've been there with them. Awesome beach. I love it.
Know something about why it was named Manly, right?
Yeah, because I went there. No.
Big Ben Billy.
I showed up and I was like, this is my beach and it's Manly. No, it was, I do remember some history about.
It was when it was discovered, I believe, like when the first settlers came, Captain Cook, I think, and his troop of people on his boat.
Right. His
and,
men.
Yeah, and they came across the Aboriginal people there and they described them as being Manly. I
the
believe.
Aboriginals.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very Manly.
So,
okay. So now it's called Manly Beach.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I couldn't remember if that, which way that went. If it was one way or the other. Said who was Manly? I was
the Aboriginals. Yeah. They think Captain Cook's Manly. Who's? It's interesting that would translate. That back then, Manly would translate. You'd think, you know, like it's just a last name thing, but.
Yeah.
But the
Manly Beach.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very nice beach.
Don't be a pussy on this beach.
Yeah.
It's hot. You can fuck off this beach.
Wrong beach.
G'day, mate. Get out of here.
Head over to Freshwater.
Yep. That's the one up from it.
Yes.
Freshwater.
So Manly Beach.
Freshwater, yeah. So, yeah, we would go there and be there on holiday, and our cousins, my dad's brother and his wife and their three kids came up to visit us. And Shannon, my cousin, is a year younger than me and hadn't seen her in a while.
Right.
And they came up for the day or for a day, I guess. And she was just telling me the whole time. I'm like, how you been? What have you been doing? And she's like, at school, we did this, like, water, like, survival thing. So I know all about, you know, swimming in the ocean and, you know, at a pool and how to resuscitate someone and how to rescue someone and how to do all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, we did that stuff.
She took, a life-saving
course. At school, too. Yeah.
Water safety.
Yeah, I did what was called your bronze medallion. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And she's like, yeah, so I know all about all that stuff. And how to read the waves and the ocean and, like, oh, it was really cool. And, yeah, we just worked on that stuff a lot. And then we went to the beach and we did all this stuff. And, like, and she grew up, like, on the beach, like, further down to Wollongong, which is south of...
Another great name.
I love it.
Wollongong.
Wollongong, where it's actually born.
Wollongong.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, that's cool. They learn cool stuff. They get to actually go to the beach and do this. We just went to the public swimming pool and, you know...
Pretended.
We didn't pretend. We had to get in the water.
Pretend this is a beach.
We'd swim, you know, you have to swim in your clothes as part of the test and shoes and get from one end to the other of the Olympic-sized pool and...
Wow, that's a lot.
It's hard with shoes on and like long sleeve shirt and pants we had to wear and stuff. And I had to do things where you go and grab someone who's floating in the water and, you know, hold their spine in correct alignment and float with them.
Right, someone with a head or neck injury.
Yeah, if they're floating face down, you've got to assume that they might have one. And then like you secure their neck and turn them back and then just use your legs to get back to the other end of the pool while holding them in place. And
yeah, that's like life-saving
cool
that I had to take to be a lifeguard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was just what we had to do at school. Everyone had to do it.
Wow, that's smart.
So, yeah. And there was levels. You
could
pass
the higher.
All of
our kids don't even know how to swim here.
Really?
A lot of people don't learn how to swim.
That's crazy.
I learned late.
Yeah.
And then you kind of reintroduced me to it. Like, I hadn't swam in a long time. And
I remember I came and gave you a swimming lesson or something.
And then after that, I was swimming fucking...
Oh, that's cool.
Nonstop.
Yeah. Yeah, it helps to be taught the proper technique.
Yeah.
I didn't get taught proper
technique
until I was, like, 18.
Yourself.
Yeah.
And that was like a fluke.
You see those guys flailing around like...
yeah.
Doing it, you know.
Turning their head like...
Yeah.
Trying to breathe. Slow to take it easy.
You can just feel like you're drowning when you don't know.
You just want to go in their ear, nigh.
Nigh.
Sorry. Nigh, mate, nigh.
It's all right.
It's
what are you doing? Use your arms, mate.
Your bloody arms.
Yeah. Fucking breathe.
Fucking swim. What are you doing?
Hurts,
he can't. DC has a limit. He can only hear someone speaking in an accent for 3 to 3.5 minutes before he takes it on. It's like Daryl Hammond's bit
with the Chinese.
And when someone talks to you a certain way, you respond like that.
Oh yeah, in the Chinese restaurant, it's a $5 fried chicken. $5 fried chicken.
No. Somebody's like, he's like, no. We got silly.
Sorry,
it's
the most interrupted story ever.
Fine. So anyway, we go to the beach,
right.
And in Australia, like when you go to the beach, the lifeguards will have been early in the morning or whenever, and they're there throughout the day, and they put up flags to show you where the safest place in the beach is to swim.
Yeah. You better pay attention to those flags.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
It's swim outside of the flags at your own risk, but they generally don't look very kindly on you swimming outside of the flags. And, you know, people riding surfboards and things have to be outside of the flags and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So that, you know, bathers are safer and stuff. People don't run into them. I have another story about that, but I won't tell it now. But so anyway, we all go down to the beach, both families, and it's a particularly rough day at this beach.
Yeah.
It can vary. It can be like I've seen it as still as a pond, almost the water there, to like huge surf that like there's a second break further out. It's not, the surf isn't just breaking right at the beach and the whole beach will be closed. The beach should,
right.
The beach really should have been closed this day.
How big, remember when we were last there?
Yeah.
How would you classify those waves as far as big for Manly Beach or small for
You
Manly
haven't
beach?
Been there when it's been really big.
Okay.
You've been there when it's been medium.
Medium,
it's
okay.
Sort of pretty normal.
Pretty big waves.
Yeah.
Pretty big waves.
Yeah.
So that you guys are considering medium, like 6 to 10 foot waves or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess.
They were
probably
well over my head.
Yeah. Okay. I have trouble judging, but yeah, I think you're right. And the really big ones would be probably twice as big as that. So,
So pretty big surf.
Mm. But on this day, it was pretty normal size surf, but there was like a huge rip. And it was just pulling straight across the beach, it seemed like.
You can see it, you know.
You couldn't see it.
Okay.
But we got in the water, like, straight out in between the flags, and you could feel it. And it was so strong that you would walk. We were, like, walking to the left and being dragged to the right.
Right. Yeah.
Like, as you went, you were just going backwards. It was, like...
Yeah, that's when I get out right there.
Yeah, you couldn't stay in place. And, you know, and really, we should have got out. The lifeguards should have had everyone get out when it was like that. But they they didn't, and we were trying, and they kept, this guy was on the beach, and he kept blowing his little whistle, going, and blowing his whistle at us and saying, "Stay between the flags! Stay between the flags!" And we're all like, we're trying, and we're just walking, not in the spot, but like we're walking going backwards, right, basically trying to stay between. And my cousin Shannon and I and my uncle Michael were all doing this, but then we must have got to a point where the sand dipped off and we didn't have anything under our feet.
And now you're just floating in the rip.
Shoot. And then the rip took us straight out. And Shannon and I stuck together the whole time.
Yeah, scary.
We were like right next to each other. And somehow, but I guess Uncle Michael was a little bit separated from us because we were like, you know, hanging out together in the water, and he got taken a bit further off from us. But, you know, you're just working to sort of get back in, and then suddenly you look up. And, oh, my God, you're so far from the beach. It's just such a long, long way away.
Doesn't take long, right?
Yeah. And
like you go from standing on the beach, more or less, with your feet in, to now you're 50 or more meters out from the beach, 100 maybe.
100.
Just wow. Yeah. That.
Yeah. Like, yeah, like people on the beach are sort of little dots by the time we're out, way out. And you're like, oh, okay, but like on the way out, as we were getting pulled out the back, like this lifeguard is blowing his whistle at everybody, telling them to stay between the flags, and I'm laughing at this because I think it's hilarious, because they just can't. And at the same time, my dad sees what's happening, and he comes down to the beach, and the lifeguard's now decided, okay, these people have been ripped out the back by this rip. We're going to get everyone out of the water. And he tells everybody they have to get out and they can't be in. And my dad comes up, and I could see him talking and to the lifeguard. Mum said later, he was saying, "My fucking daughter's out there. I'm going out." And he's saying, "No, you're not. You're staying in here." And he's like, "That's my kid. I'm going out there." And the lifeguard said, "No, no, you're bloody not. You're staying here on the beach. We're sending guys out to go get them." So my uncle made it in by himself, and Shannon and I are at the back, and she's freaking out.
Even with all the training. All
his training's just gone. And for some reason, I'm so calm. I have heard the how to get out of a rip story like so many times.
That's awesome.
And I've done like a lot of body surfing with my father, and I, you know, would usually be out beyond where you can touch, you know. I wouldn't stay in where I had my feet on the ground. I'd go out and body surf or have a boogie board and, you know, ride waves and stuff as best I could as a kid.
God, I love doing that stuff.
And I just wasn't panicked. I was like, okay, we just swim. We just wait. It's just going to take us out, and then we just go across, and then we just swim back in. And she was just freaking out. And so I spent my time keeping her calm.
Yeah.
And then
awesome. And she's then lucky to be out there with you, babe.
Yeah. And then eventually the lifeguards came out, and I think I guess they came out on a longboard.
Right.
Like big surfboard, and came out that way.
The big kahuna board.
Yeah. And
that you see on the back of the lifeguard chair, that giant thing laying at the foot of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They came and got you on that.
I don't remember the details of, like, who came out, but there was definitely one guy came out. I think there was some other people came out as well. And they were, like, you know, loaded my cousin on that. But she was, I guess, I was 15, she was 14. And she was a bit intimidated by being next to this grown man that she didn't know. So instead of sitting at the back of the board, where you should with him, she was like shifting forward and sitting like toward the nose, so she wasn't sitting up against this half naked like lifeguard. Oh my god,
that's hilarious! She's freaking out, but still very aware of that.
She was a little frigid, but you know, fair enough. She doesn't know this grown man, And who was it? Who really was a young guy, you know?
Right.
And
but
and
you might let him have a feel after he's in your life, you know? It's a little.
So, but he's like,
something for you.
She's like, thank you. Can you please? You've got to sit back here. Yeah. And she's like, just shifting forward away from him, like this scared cat, like edging up the board with her nails basically dug in. And he's trying to catch a wave to get them back in, and he just can't, and he doesn't have control of the board, like, because it's just not working. Well,
he's got weight on the front of it.
And I'm laughing at this as well, trying not
and
to.
You're still out.
I'm still out there. And then, but by this stage, I started to, we'd gone out as far as we were going to go, and we'd swum across a bit. And so then I started back in. And somebody did come past and say, "You all right? Do you want to?" And I'm like, "No, I'm fine." You know?
Right.
And I actually beat them in. They were on the surfboard.
Wow.
She was making life so difficult for the poor guy.
It wasn't that bad, but he...
Yeah, that I got to the beach before they did. And...
It's not a lifeguard. It's a lot.
I was so casual about it. Poor dad must have been, like, thinking about it now, must have just been absolutely losing his shit, like being on the beach, not being able to do anything.
Oh, I would have been freaked.
Yeah.
I imagine myself in that situation.
But I was too busy.
I'm going in.
I was too busy chuckling at my cousin. And it was so funny right at the moment when, like,
and
this
he knew
big,
you were okay,
big...
probably, your dad. He knew you were a strong swimmer and...
Yeah, but I'd never...
But he had told you 10,000 times what to do.
Yeah, but he doesn't really remember that.
No?
No, I told him. I was like, "Dad, you told me like a million times. I just did what you said."
Right.
I was like, "Oh, really?"
He was like, "Yeah, but I often tell you things a million times and you don't hear me." Because you're a child, right?
Yeah, like, as we well I guess. Know.
I'm going to tell my wife that, though, this story, because I tell her to do stuff a million times. And she never does it. And now, look at this. If you,
tell
you
her
know,
it could save your life.
Yeah,
she told me to do stuff a million times.
Maybe it'll come back to her in that clutch
that
situation.
A
yeah, that's great.
Experience, though.
I wasn't, though. But that's the funny thing. Like, just, like, I had this moment where my cousin's, like, perched on the edge of the board, all, like, scrunched up like a frightened cat, and she just looks across to the side at me with this, like, expression on her face, this, like, silent scream sort of look.
Yeah.
Oh, and I was dying laughing. It was so funny.
That's awesome.
She's on this board being saved, and she just looks terrified.
I was in...
this girl who kept telling me how good she was at all this life-saving stuff.
Yeah, it's like, that's the, you know, when someone keeps telling you something over and over, you're like... You start to not believe them.
Well, I was.
You're like, I don't think this is valid, or you wouldn't be saying it so many times.
I was young enough that I did believe her, and I didn't grow up on the beach, and she'd grown up on the, like, you know, living.
You would think,
by the ocean, and I was like, oh, and she had all this specialized training, so she knows what to do. But I think there is that thing where, like, people do. Like, some people just panic.
Oh,
well, also, it's so much to focus on. If you've had all these lessons and all this kind of stuff, but you basically know two simple things, you know, the reap and the...
Stay away from your crazy cousin. She'll drag you under.
But that's it. The minimal amount to focus on, the essentials, is what will get you
don't
through.
Don't fight against it. And,
I was in...
That's the biggest one, is just don't fight against it.
Don't fight against
it. Because you can... I mean...
You'll exhaust yourself.
Yeah, before you even get into the position where you can swim back in.
Yeah.
Like, you can exhaust yourself to the point where you drown.
Yeah.
Just fighting, you know, you can't fight a current.
Yeah.
You got to go with it.
I was in Laguna Beach one day, and several times there was some crazy stuff. One time I was swimming at a crowded beach right in the middle of Laguna, the public beach, and...
Mm.
A shark swam past me.
Jesus.
So close, I could have touched it.
Wow, that's crazy.
I didn't know this.
Probably about a 6-foot shark.
Holy shit, that's a big one.
Maybe 5. Maybe not 6.
You probably didn't have your measuring tape.
Like, when you say a 6-foot shark, people are like, oh, it's huge.
No, it's not that big.
It'll eat you. It's just long and very thin. It's not like a...
Well, it's not a 2-foot shark.
It's not a tiny shark. It scared me. My heart was...
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do, and I like...
Still don't want it to bite you.
Yeah.
No matter.
And I was like, am I supposed to yell shark?
Right.
And cause panic?
Right.
So I didn't want to do that, not knowing if I should.
Yeah.
So I like ran as fast as I could toward the lifeguard stand.
Yeah.
But I was in water up to my waist, so it took me a minute. It
takes a while.
I raced to the stand as quickly as I could, and I was like, I don't want to freak anybody out, but a shark just swam past me right over there. And he stands up and goes, "Shark!"
what a waste. I bet that's in the training manual.
Oh, my God. I don't think that's how you're supposed to handle that. But that's a different Laguna Beach story. The one that you made me think of was another day I was there, and we were like on a dock. I can't remember exactly which part I was in, but a guy went in the water, and the same thing happened to him that happened to you.
Yeah.
He just got caught. He was like right there, and he was kind of going up and down. He's like splashing water over his hair and his face and stuff. It looked like he was going to come out, and then we looked back a second later, and he was gone.
Wow.
What?
And we were like, where did he go? And the next time we see him is like 5 seconds after that, and he is 100 yards from the beach.
Shit.
And his arms are flailing.
Wow.
He wants help. He needs help.
Yeah.
And we don't know what to do. The same thing's going to happen to us. If we go in the same way that he, and then we're just going to be out there with him.
Right.
We don't know what to do. We went and we went to the lifeguard, who then called some other, I think he might have called the Coast Guard. But eventually they got the guy. They saved the guy.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and got him in a boat. But it took 10 minutes. And we thought he was going to drown.
That's it.
Yeah.
We're like, we can't save this guy.
Yeah.
And no one is... they're not getting there. We just thought that's it. We're gonna look at one point, and he's gonna be gone, and that's it.
Wow.
Scared the shit out of me.
That is scary. Yeah.
And but they, I mean, he made it. They.
It is.
Pulled up in a boat and saved him, and he was like.
It is funny. You sort of realize like there is only so much the lifeguards can do.
Yeah.
Like, there's like.
Well, I mean, I've never seen a thing quite like that one.
Yeah.
That just yanked him out so fast.
I mean, and you need like a motorboat or something to get out there to.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the guys used the rip to get out to us, I think.
Right. Yeah, they rowed it out there.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I think someone did come out in a boat after, but.
I mean, if it was a kid, I think I would have gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I would have been like, this kid has a much better chance if I'm next to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But another grown man.
Yeah.
I'm going to get out there. He's going to bring me down too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If I show up after he's been flailing all that time, he's going to latch onto me.
That was one of the biggest things we were taught.
You
got
to be able to stop. You know, that there's a whole thing here that you learn. You got to hit him in the chest to keep him away from you.
Yeah.
And then turn them around before because they'll come right at you.
Oh, yeah, and they'll drown you. You can be a really good swimmer,
you
but
have
if
to be
someone
aggressive with them.
Climbs on you, doesn't really matter how strong you are.
Yeah.
Grab an arm and then push them hard on the other shoulder at the same time and spin them around.
Right.
And then lock your arm underneath.
We didn't get taught that. We got told that you just don't go close enough to them that they can like lunge to get you, and you tell them to turn around and you're not coming over to them until they turn around.
Oh, wow.
And then when they're...
You guys are so much more rational.
Well,
I've always wondered how it would work. I've never had to like use it in a crisis situation, but then you come in and you grab them from behind and then you're holding them. And they're not holding you. And you tell them, I'm not coming in. I don't want you to, you know, jump on me and drown me. We'll both go down if you do that. So you turn around and then I will come and grab you.
Cutting off that.
Because they might lunge at
but
you anyway.
But I think it's good
so
to know.
To know
I think it's good to know that one as well.
Yeah, lock them hard in the chest and spin them as quickly as you
knock
can.
Knock their wind out while they can't breathe. And then
well, make sure
reconnoiter them.
What you
around.
Do is you bring a rock with you.
Elbow
they come
strike
at you,
to the
you
thorax.
Hit them in the square in the head as hard as you can.
Yeah.
But you had to learn that in life saving.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember I was a lifeguard for a whole bunch of summers.
I believe it. Yeah, I believe it.
Of course. And I remember taking life saving the first time. I think I was 14, maybe 15. You had to be 15. I can't remember.
Yeah.
So I had to take the class, and part of the class is that the lifeguards that already work at the pool that you're at are your victims.
Right.
So they're all bigger than we are.
Yeah.
And they all know us for all these pool rats that have been hanging around. And we want to get our certification so we can be lifeguards too.
Mm.
And so they're kind of going to torture us a little bit.
Mm.
And on top of that, one of the girls is like this older, very attractive girl.
Yeah.
And we're all the young guys are like, oh, I want
to. You want to rescue her?
We're like, yeah. I wonder if I wonder
punch
which one of
us
is going to get her. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I got her. But she knew that we were doing that. And so to teach me a lesson, she like flailed around like a fish out of water. Like she went crazy. And in like one of my first kind of physical victories at age 14 or whatever, I just manhandled her. And I was like, no, you don't. I just shut her down. And
she was like,
her in.
I choose this one.
I thought I was going to fail. It like meant everything to me because I had a job on the line and everything.
Yeah.
So. No, but she made it tough. And it actually showed me that it could be dangerous.
Yeah.
If you're trying to rescue somebody and they are all over you like that.
Yeah.
And really, they're filled with adrenaline and panic. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It's funny.
I had a buddy that was a lifeguard. That was his only job he ever did. He hasn't had a job since. And he told me he's just...
Wow.
Yeah, he has not had a job since.
In his whole life?
In his whole life. He's never had a job.
How does he sustain?
There's a lot of Subway coupons. It's like a whole thing. It's a whole... he has not had a job. He did comedy. Did some comedy.
Oh,
but,
okay. That explains a
but
bit.
Not a, you know,
but
not enough.
Not enough to get by.
But he told
me... So he's a lifeguard for a while once.
Oh, yeah, for a while. But he's like... when he first was a lifeguard, he got his... he had just gotten his learner's permit, and he went... This almost has nothing to do with this except for the lifeguard part, but it's still pretty funny. He went...
He
went to a 7-Eleven. So he goes, he's just come from lifeguarding. He went to a 7-Eleven to get a Dr. Pepper. And he got a big gulp of Dr. Pepper. So he gets back, he's like in his friend's car.
That's
something.
32 ounces of Dr. Pepper.
A huge, like that huge crazy amount. This is like maybe the late 70s around there.
The ones that are now illegal.
Yeah,
yeah, they're
those
illegal.
Giant sodas in New York. Illegal.
You get diabetes on the last, you know. So... He gets back in the car, and there's this dude in the car. This black dude's in the car, and he's like, oh, what do you? He's like, man, could you give me a ride? I just live down that way.
He's already in his.
He's
car.
Already in the car. He's like, it was hot outside, man. Could you give me a ride? So he's like a young kid. So he's like, oh yeah, all right, yeah, we're just down there. He's like, yeah, man, just down there. So. They drive down the road, and the guy's like, well, hold up. Can we just stop in here a second? I just want to pick something up, and we're going to go right in, you know, right down there. So he's like, yeah, it's all in the way. He's like, okay. So they pull into, like, these projects, right? And the guy's like, just hold up. One second, I'm going to be right out. You know, it's very, like, nice and everything. All of a sudden, the guy comes running out. He's like, go, man, go, right? So he gets in the car, and they're driving. He's like, what the fuck is going on? He's like, just go, man, just go. Right, so this other car starts chasing them. Right, this other car filled with these other guys starts chasing them, and they keep pulling up to him, and the dude rolls down the window and shouts shit at him. He's like, "I got a knife in my arm, man. He know kung fu." Like he's pointing to my friend, like he know. And they're like, "We go, you know." So they get in this whole thing. They pull to a red light. These guys start getting out. So my friend just runs the fucking red light. He runs the red light and takes off. And those guys did not run the red light. He takes off. They get to wherever this desk. They make a couple turns, but a little before that, and my friend's like, "You got to get out, man! You got to get out." So the guy gets out, and as he's getting out, he hands him the cup, and the cup is bone dry. It's completely empty, and the guy looks at him. It's like, "Sorry, man. I love the pepper."
He drank his whole 32
oh my god!
During the chase.
Crazy.
Sorry, man. I love the pepper.
Wow. I love that there's someone who's calm under fire.
Yes.
Calm enough to drink a 32 ounce.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Sorry, man. I love the pepper.
When my wife and I got married in Greece, so we went to...
So you're not legally married in the United States?
That's... kind of weird. It's like there's
Oh, really? I was kidding.
We are, but we're... It was kind of like... I don't know what happened to the marriage certificate thing.
Her dad insisted.
It was like a.
Do it in a foreign land?
It was. No, we just. After our families
blazer,
could not
that
agree.
Pissing blazer incident?
Oh, yeah, the pissy blazer. Our families couldn't agree on how to do it. Like, my family's the artist. Her family was like, we're going to have a nice. Everybody's going to have a matching tuxedo. There's going to be a jazz band. You know, my mom was like, they're going to get into a balloon and fly off into the sunset. Like, that was like, so we're like, this shit's not going to work.
I don't know about hot air balloon.
Yeah. So we just decided.
Something a little more comfortable.
Yeah. We're going to do married and honeymoon in Greece and then do two different receptions. Each family gets it the way they want to do it.
Nice.
Oh, so, that's cool.
Very accommodating.
Interesting.
This story will, I mean, look, this thing will come up.
Is there a lifeguard in this story?
There's a beach in it. There's a beach in it.
Oh, nice.
So we're there, and there are two things that were happening at the time. One is I was up for a Saturday Night Live. I was down to the last six dudes. But
no
they
shit.
Didn't. They
I didn't
had
know
not,
that.
Yeah, they had not told me and whether it was going to happen or not, but it was down to the last six. It was like out of fucking 500 people or whatever. I'd done the screen tests. I'd done all the stuff. Mm. And
they went with Tracy Morgan.
It was the year before Tracy Morgan. It was me, Jim Brewer, Daryl Hammond. So, and then there was, I forget who the other guys were. But
it's good company.
Yeah, it was good company. It was good. Mm. I posted something about this, but the long and short of it was Lorne didn't want me on. He was like, we don't need any John Leguizamo street guys on the show or some shit like that. But NBC really liked me. He said something like that to me. And I was like, So they were kind of arguing. So I was getting married, going on my honeymoon, not knowing if this huge thing was going to change my life.
Saturday Night Live or not.
Yeah, man, it was going to be a huge fucking deal, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So we're there, and I'm thinking about this thing the whole time, trying not to, but I'm like, I'm getting married, which is the other huge thing.
There's a lot of huge things going on.
Yeah, and I'm young. I mean, I was like 27.
Yeah.
Wow. You know? So two funny things happen. One is, all this is going on. My wife is, you know, a super animal activist, and she's right out of NYU with the feminist activist animals, this, that, or whatever. So we're sitting at this restaurant on a beach, and I'm thinking about this shit.
I think you told me this.
I may have told you this. And we're at this restaurant on this beach, and it's beautiful, right? It's just beautiful. And they're all in Greece, like many places, there are a lot of stray dogs and cats, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we're on the actual beach, and then the restaurant's behind us, and there's all these Greek people sitting in the actual like porch area that's, you know, kind of, but we're out in the kind of sun and, you know, right by the ocean, whatever, it's beautiful. And there's this stray dog that just keeps coming up and, you know, walking over. So my wife's like, what a sweet dog and everything's so sweet. And he comes up and, you know, we throw him something and this waiter comes over and I see the waiter kind of look at the dog like, you know, he's got this look on his face. I'm like, ah, shit, right? So
he's disgusted.
The waiter's like, so the waiter's like, he kind of shoos the dog off. And the dog's like, it's kind of like a game, you know? Like the waiter shoos him off, the dog runs away, and then he comes back. And he's like, he's trying to get food or whatever. So we've put in our order, and this is going on between the dog and the waiter. And I tell people this, and they're always horrified, right? But It's what happened. And it's over by the water. And the dog keeps trying to come towards us or whatever. So the waiter, like, shoos him off. So finally, the waiter picks up, a lawn chair. And he kind of chases the dog. And to the dog, still a game, right?
Right.
Still a game. But my wife's like, it's a little over the top. The guy's picking up a lawn chair, right? It's chasing the dog. I'm like, hey, you know, it's Greece. They do shit a little differently. Guy comes in. He gets the food. He brings it. The dog's, like, hanging out. So the dog comes back again. I see the waiter bend over and he picks up this rock, right? This big ass fucking rock. Like, and he just throws it at the dog and you hear whoomp, right? And it hits the dog right in the side and it's like, ow, 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 and takes off and everybody in the restaurant cheers, right? It's like, And my wife is so horrified. Oh, she's so fucking horrified. But oh, they all wow. cheered, man. They thought it was hilarious. Like, good shot.
Like you were nailing a fly or
yeah.
something.
Like, you know, the guy, and he walks back with his arms up, you know, like fucking Rocky. So that was the first thing that happened. That
wow.
was the first thing that happened.
Oh, God.
It was a big rock.
Oh, man.
This
and it was
beautiful.
Can you imagine if that happened
oh,
here?
Oh,
beautiful
God.
Romantic
It'd be on
dinner.
The news.
Yeah.
Like, that guy would be like, that waiter would be.
No, he was like he was the hero of
the
restaurant.
In the news, yeah, and they've cheered him in Greece.
Yeah.
The second thing that happened was where we were staying was in the side of a mountain, and there were these, like these paths, these cobblestone paths, and you know, and there were a lot of donkeys. Mm. There were a lot of donkeys, so, I remember, I think I didn't.
I just want that tidbit for the highlights. There were a lot of donkeys.
There were a lot of donkeys.
There were a lot of donkeys.
Yes. A lot of donkeys, who I've never really spent any time around. I've never really, yeah. you know, spent
know
a lot of time. I'm not that familiar
either.
With donkeys.
Fair enough.
My dad was obsessed with them. He used to love donkeys. He would paint them. But so I think we get married. We get married on the beach. It's beautiful. And then we cut through the town mayor married us. And it was like these vows, like he made up the vows. We didn't, so it's like, you know, you take wife, if she does not listen, you beat with a stick and drink. Well, you know, like, I'm like, eh, let's, this not the first. Yeah, hang on, you know.
Wow, that's interesting.
And we
was like, you will be obedient.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was totally that. It was like these yeah. archaic vows of you can
oh,
trade
wow.
her for chattel, you know. So we,
she is to suffer in silence.
I think I get a call that it's not happening. Like the SNL thing's not happening, and then you know, some and then like some other thing fell through or something. So we're married, you know. So I'm like, okay, I got to be positive and focused on the thing. But I'm sitting on the side of this mountain, and it overlooks a beach, and just kind of absorbing everything that's happened, and like, oh, I didn't get it, you know, I didn't get SNL, and it was kind of like a big blow, and a donkey course, walks yeah. by with a giant erection, like just giant fucking erection, and I'm like, this could go two ways. Either I could feel really bad about myself that I'm not like this donkey, or I could be like, this is fucking hilarious. It was just such the sun shining, like coming down right on the erection. The donkey's like, you know, that's the erection dragging on the cobblestones. And I just busted out laughing. And it was such a great moment, man, to see the donkey with a boner, you know, at the end of it all. It, like, push the reset button.
A donkey yeah. dick.
Oh, makes everything
You're
better.
You're sitting there like, I didn't get SNL. But this sucks donkey dick. Yeah, and that donkey was like, what?
Yeah. You call?
I'm like, sorry, what'd you say?
Like this?
Oh, is it dear. Moose cock?
Oh, shit.
Oh,
that's
God.
Fucking funny, man. I was once, I went out to, I think it was Nebraska is where my show was, which is another whole story.
You were shooting out there?
No, I was doing a stand-up
oh,
show.
Oh, just a stand-up show.
But so right. I decided to go to Mount Rushmore.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had to drive south from there and go down to Nebraska. So I went to Mount Rushmore. I checked it out. It was pretty awesome. It was kind of a rainy day. There was nobody there but me. Literally no one there. In
really?
The entire thing except
me. Oh, that'd
me.
Be weird.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was just standing there looking at Mount Rushmore, which seemed to be looking right back at me because yeah. there was no one else there. It was a pretty cool moment.
Wow.
And the trip had not been great before that. They didn't have my room at the hotel the night before, so I ended up at a motel. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get a drink. And I ended up sitting at this little bar and getting into an argument with some guy who, because he hated some ethnic group. I can't remember now. And he's just going on and on about it until I got into a big argument and it was awful. But so then the next day I was like, all right, I'm going to Mount Rushmore. I'm going to check this out. Went to Mount Rushmore and then drove down to where the Crazy Horse Monument is, which is amazing. Like, Mount Rushmore would fit in Crazy Horse's eye.
Really?
That's how big the thing is. And it's him on a horseback. But it's taking forever because the family that started it, the guy has passed away, but the family that started building it won't take any government funding.
Really?
Because they don't want the government to be able to decide what happens and what it looks like and all that.
Okay.
So, but he, luckily, he and his wife had like 12 kids. Then have had more kids, and it's turned into a big success.
Luckily or deliberately.
Wish them the best.
Luckily for the monument.
We need an army to build this. Yeah. So,
let's raise our own army.
Hop to it, honey.
And some vaginal rejuvenation.
Yeah. Well, it's turned into a big lucrative thing for them.
That's great.
Yeah.
But that doesn't inspire them to get it finished any more quickly, because while it's being built, they have this whole economy around it. But it's an interesting thing. But So I was going there, so to get from one to the other, you got to just drive through nothingness. Rolling hills, 100-plus miles of just kind of these massive rolling hills.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm cruising along, and I haven't seen a car in hours.
Yeah.
And I just kind of roll up to the top of a hill, and I'm like, I can see way behind me, and I can see way in front of me, and there's nobody on the road. Like, I could, you know, I felt like I could see a long enough way that I was like, I'm just going to stop. So I just stopped in the middle of the road, put the car in park, and I'm just sitting there. Just kind of staring out to the front, and then something catches my eye off to the right. So I'm looking that way, and then I kind of turn around toward the back of the car, and I'm looking. And when I turn back to face forward, I feel like there's somebody looking at me from outside my driver window. And I turn, and there's a fucking buffalo, standing like 8 feet from the car.
Wow.
And it's like as big as the rental car.
Oh.
It's just one giant, you know, buffalo eyes on the side of his head. I'm just like.
And his eyes lined up with the window.
He's looking.
Looking straight in at you.
Standing right next to the car. Like, how did he get there?
Wow.
Without me noticing?
Yeah.
It's huge. And I'm just marveling at this thing, like literally took my breath away because it surprised me because it's so big. And this is what made me think of it. It just started pissing. While I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, look at the beautiful. Just like, shh. And I mean, it's like a garden hose.
I'll bet.
It's thinking, you're like, holy shit. And he's like, yeah, this is how much I care.
Yeah.
Tap it.
He's like, what is this little animal?
Whatever.
And so then I just drove off. I suddenly was aware of, like, this is potentially dangerous. Like, they're just so big.
Yeah.
I mean, I was driving a tiny little car.
Basically all muscle.
It's amazing people hunted. Like, Indians hunted them and stuff like that. Yeah. Like,
isn't that astounding?
With a bow and arrow and all that shit.
Yeah
to bring one of them down. Like,
so huge.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know. You had to live in a tribe at that point in time. Like, you can't be hunting something like that by yourself.
Rolling with your boys. You can't,
and a game plan.
Some
skills.
Yeah, some good good aim.
Bad skills.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the bow and arrow.
Yeah, they would have got lots of when you're hunting a buffalo stories as they were kids.
Yeah.
Never
go against the herd.
We always got the never walk behind a horse story.
Right.
Don't want to get kicked by the horse.
Oh, yeah.
Things
your
like
dad,
that.
Your dad imparted the essentials.
He did. He did.
I love it. I love it.
It's good. I did think of one other funny little bit from the end of that story before. Was
from the beach.
When I finally made it into the...
Into the beach after being
Was on the sand and walking up the sand, getting out. The lifeguard did come over to me and he said, "Make sure you stay between the flags."
That's the closer on it.
It only took another 15 minutes to get there. But
did he blow his whistle?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, are you serious?
I still don't understand the problem.
I was between the flags.
You can't stay between the flags. Pull the flags out. There's no place to swim right now.
Put the flags.
If that was the safe place to swim.
Yeah, put the flags where the rip isn't.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is funny. Great.
That just randomly made me think of one of my favorite old Rodney Dangerfield bits where he's like, I get no respect. He's in the pool. He's like, I get no respect. I was in the swimmer pool. I was screaming, "Help, help, help." And the lifeguard looked over and said, "Hey, keep it down, will you? There's people trying to swim over here," or something like that.
That's funny.
I know I have more beach stories, but we've kind of jumped around, which is totally
good, though. It's good to jump around a little.
Natural yeah. conversation.
There's often funny stories with involving your dad.
Yes.
There's some, oh, there's some many great
more
ones.
Of them, yeah.
We had one, which you told
oh,
me was like
God.
A oh, classic. Yeah. Your dad sort of classic.
Yeah, that was classic mode. Kieran Gleason, yep. And Ben was there for it.
I don't remember how it started. I think I saw...
Yeah.
Out back by the garden.
Yep.
A rat.
Yeah.
Is this awful? Should we not be telling this story?
No, I think it's okay.
And there's a rat
Dad,
on the sidewalk.
Dad had been aware that there had to been some rats, like, getting into the compost out the back or getting it, or maybe into
this
the,
is
into
on the
back shed. This is where Mum and, well, where Dad lives now.
Not Dubbo.
No, in Canberra.
Canberra.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And this was, like, the last time Ben came home with me. And, yeah, this reminds me of his dad, my grandpa. Like this. But, yeah, so Dad had put out some rat poison and knew that there was rats around. And he'd been saying something to me about them, that he'd seen some rats out the back or whatever, a rat he was trying to get him. And you came in, and Ben had been out the back, and he came in and said, oh, I saw there's a rat out there. And
it's a rat out back by the garden, yeah.
And it was just sitting on this like path that was out
like
the back.
Sidewalk.
Yeah.
And when you come out the back, there's a deck and then stairs down
to the yard
from there. And so I thought, oh, I better go tell Dad. He's probably going to want to do something about it. Because Ben's like, it's just sitting there. It's not moving. He's just sitting still.
Mm.
I was like, oh, all right. Well, Dad's going to want to know. So I went up to Dad's room to tell him. And Dad's standing there in his undies, as he does after he gets out of the shower, shaving. So he's halfway through a shave. He has shaving cream all over his face. And he's got half of it done. And he said, oh, okay, oh, quick. So he comes out into the kitchen, just in his undies. Shaving cream on half his face. He just puts down
just
his razor and comes. And there's a lemon tree out the back that grows these really big, like, lemons. And there's a bowl full of them on the kitchen table. So we're like, what are we going to do? And
he comes running out.
I don't know if it was me or if his dad suggested we could throw some lemons.
Oh, really?
I'm like, there he is. And we're like, what should we do?
Because Dad's like, if I get down there, you know, he's going to run off. I can't hit him with a shovel
if you
or anything.
Whack him, he'll be gone.
So I was like, maybe. Like,
maybe we could pelt him. We could
and
hit him
like,
with something.
Yeah, I was like, Ben's got a good arm. You have a go at it. Like, you know.
So we grab a bowl of lemons.
Dad's got a decent arm, yeah. So I'm like loading them up with lemons.
That's awesome.
We just start whipping lemons at this rat.
And these giant lemons.
And I hit it.
You got it.
I beamed it. Like, I nailed it with a lemon almost as big as it was. And it just was like tumbled and rolled.
And then Dad straight after.
Yeah.
And right as it got hit, we realized that the rat just stumbles. He doesn't go running off.
Yeah, he's been poisoned.
That's what it was.
He's a mess.
And Dad says...
Your dad, I hit him and your dad goes, he's not well. Watches another lemon.
Dad hit him, I think, first.
He hit him too.
And then your arm's already back and you're swinging through. Dad's like, as you let go, he's like, he's not well. He's not well. He doesn't want this poor rat.
Got him stunned.
Who's already sick to be pelleted with lemons.
He's not well. Oh, that was a good laugh. We had such a laugh after that.
So then poor Dad has to go so down funny. And get the shovel and hit him on the head anyway.
Yeah, it's just like laying there.
And
like,
put him out of his misery and dispose of
after,
him.
After he's been pelted.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like, this is so strange. Lemoned. This rat's just sunning itself in the middle of the day. Yeah, rather unusual behavior.
Yeah, that would be the rat poisoning.
Yeah. He's not well. He's not well.
So, something so funny about that.
Yeah.
So Dad goes down to the shed and gets the shovel still in his undies with his shaving cream on and puts the rat out of his misery and disposes of him and then goes back up and finishes his shave.
Finishes the shave and then goes off to work.
Night of the lemons.
Mm.
That's great. Yeah, the first rat I saw was when we were a kid. We lived in a shitty neighborhood. It was 14th and P downtown.
This is D.C.?
D.C., yeah. It was a shitty neighborhood. I mean, you go back there now, DC it's beautiful. Bay. It's beautiful. Like, there's all these, yeah. But then it was horrible. And
is that hard to go back and be like, come on?
Well, I was so little.
It looked like this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was so little. We moved out of there, you know, when I was still young. But there was a big rat problem. And I remember my mom would use a broom on everything. Like, there was some guy tried to break in the porch, and she was swatting him with the broom.
Awesome.
Because the porch was right by the alley, and he had, like, made a hole. And I remember this from being a little kid. He had made a hole in the screen of the porch and was, like, climbing in. And she was like, bam, hitting him. My dad was at work. And she's hitting this guy in the fucking head with a broom. Yeah, and he's like, ow. And he's like, getting out of there. She's like, get out of here. So she went down to do laundry.
That's awesome.
Oh, that broom. She swatted me with the broom. Everybody got the broom.
I was going to ask if you kids got the broom.
I got the broom later on. Not when I was
brothers.
Yeah, she would grab the broom. It was like, chase us. But there was this.
She's got the broom.
Yeah. There was this. She went down to do laundry one day in the communal laundry room, and I was with her, and there was this rat, and the rat was like bold, not scared.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so it was coming towards her, so she swatted it with the broom. It got a hold of the broom and started climbing up it.
Whoa.
It got towards her,
Jesus.
You know. So she's like, dude, banging her on the wall, whatever, and like ended up stunning it, and we went upstairs. But that was my first rat. So I'm like, these guys don't fuck around.
No.
So maybe
latched
it's okay to
that,
well,
that's,
with a lemon.
That's kind of why I have a rat phobia.
Throw fruit.
Yes.
Like
cantaloupes.
Like rats just freak me out, and I think it's because when I was little, my grandmother told me a story about how when she was in the shearing shed, with her brother.
Where they shear the sheep.
Yeah, where they shear the sheep.
We're not shearing this one.
Don't shear my sheep with anyone. That's the one we tell.
That must be a classic.
That's the one we tell about the New Zealanders.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Kiwi accent.
Shear my sheep with anyone.
How do you shear your sheep? I don't shear my sheep with anyone, mate.
She's all mine.
Yeah.
But
she was in the shearing shed.
She was in the shearing shed with her brother, who was a good bit older than her. And this rat just ran at him and ran up his pant leg.
Oh.
And he...
In his pants.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that just terrified me. Oh. And I think it terrified her at the time.
Him.
And he was... I think he was giggling and laughing because it was tickling him, but it was started biting him as well. And he just was like, you know, it's hard.
Oh, my God.
Hard to get a rat out of your pant, like I mentioned.
Yeah.
And, oh, I was
just
like...
Take real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Try to grab it through your pants.
Oh God!
Oh, what a,
I did some
experience.
Show on like the Lower East Side, like one of these theaters, you know, one of these like bar shows or something like that.
Lower East Side.
And it was this place. I was like, God, this place is filthy, right? This place is fucking filthy. I'll never forget this. This was like one of the grossest things that's ever happened. It was just dirty, and I'm like, I just want to go back to Brooklyn. There's some trees, and there's whatever. So I do the show, I leave, and as I'm walking, I feel like this kind of like tickling thing on my shirt, right? I'm like, what's this shit? So strange. I open my shirt, this huge roach jumps out that must have crawled up my leg.
Oh.
Crawled up my leg somehow. So this thing has been hanging out on me all night from sitting in it. I was sitting in some dusty ass seat somewhere, and I saw these roach traps. I'm like, huh. And it just jumped right out and flew off
dude.
I'm like, that's what people think of New York. You
that'll
know?
Skeeve you out.
Roach in your shirt.
Just the thought of it.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Would you rather have a roach in your shirt or a rat in your pants?
That's a Russ Medeve question, right?
Yeah. What if? Dude, if you could.
What happened? What did he? How did he get the rat out of his pants?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess he pulled his pants down or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was probably hitting it and stuff. But my nan told me that story when I was very little, so I don't remember
it really well.
Yeah, but after that, I was like, rats! Yeah. Like, you know?
Yeah.
And then I knew my idea of them was that they could be very aggressive like that. Yeah. So.
Yeah, they can. They definitely can.
They can, can't they?
But cats will fuck them up. That's one thing. A little cat versus a big rat. The cats, I mean, they're...
Yep.
It's like big brother, little brother thing.
The rest
can't win.
They can't, man. I've seen the... You know, we have this cat, and while we were away, somehow a rat got in the basement. Mm. And the cat, you know, he's not a big... And man, I came down there. This rat was like that, you know, with the teeth out and whatever. And the cat kind of told me. He's like, when he starts talking, he's like, meow, and he's like... Kind of like, follow me. Let me show you something. Yeah. It was kind of almost too big for him to lug up.
Was this Ursa Major?
It's amazing.
Ursa Minor.
This is Moxie. Ursa passed away.
Sorry.
But it looks very much like Ursa. Yeah.
But
I can't believe we're talking about this.
Yeah.
We already have our guest for our next episode planning to tell a story like so close to what we're talking about now that
really?
I can't believe it is such a random topic.
Shift gears.
It's okay.
Well, I won't be here then.
It's just funny. No, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
But I was going to say, we had cats growing up, and one of them was a big male cat, and he was a bit rough, Baldwin, and he was
Baldwin.
A bit...
Yeah,
Baldwin.
He
was
a
great name. You guys have great pet names.
Yeah. And he was a bit rough with Geronimo, who's the female cat. She was all black and smaller and very petite.
Yeah.
Thought she was a dog, followed our Labrador around everywhere.
Baldwin and Geronimo.
I love
But
names.
She was a great mouser.
Yeah.
She was really good, and she would leave them as presents on the doorstep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, and you like... And she would bring, like, baby rabbits and stuff too.
Wow.
Because like, this is when we first moved to Canberra and we were living on the edge of a reserve. And so she'd go off into the reserve and there's lots of wild rabbits. And they are pests, you know, they're an introduced species in Australia. I mean, you don't feel great seeing a baby rabbit on the doorstep when you head off to school, but
delicious.
Yeah.
But she was so proud, you could tell. Yeah. And she'd leave it there as a little gift for you. And I'd be like, Mom, there's another one.
Yeah.
just jump a little bit. I'd be like about to step down on the mat. And then I'd be like, hang on, over that.
We had a cat that did the same. He would bring little presents on the doorstep.
Mm.
Sting.
Baldwin never did.
He brought a baby bunny on Easter Sunday. And my mom was like, Sting! She was so pissed. I was like, it's Easter! How could you?
Isn't this the symbol of Easter? It's funny. Like, I went out of my way. There was a mouse and a rat.
I caught this thing trying to leave eggs all over the house. Snuck into the middle of the night. I took care of him like I'm supposed to.
Well, the one that killed the rats, he's a mouser. He's a mouser. So, and this was so funny. I was away on a trip,
mouser.
And he's so good at it. He's really good at it.
Yeah.
And there'd been some mice, but he had kind of knocked them out. And Christine, my wife, was very like, you know, do you think there are any more mice? I'm like, close the basement door because he might find one. You know. So I guess she forgot to close the basement door, and I got back from doing the road, and she was in bed, and she's like, you know, Moxie came up, slept with me last night, but now he's gone, and I got in the bed, I was like, uh-oh. He had brought a fucking dead mouse in the bed, and as I'm, she's like, I guess he left one of his toys, because we have this mouse toy. I'm like, that's not a toy. She's like, I've never seen her. She jumped out of that bed. You know,
get out of here. Get out.
Oh,
so God, the poor thing.
Oh, my God. It was so funny.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She had been sleeping with it all night. I'm like, you got a new boyfriend here. You know?
Who's this? Who the hell is this?
Who is this? I want answers.
Reminds me of an airplane.
Yeah.
When the woman, you remember an airplane, when she gets the call and she gets out of bed, she's like, there's some juice in the fridge for you in the morning if you want. The carrot goes back to the bed. It's a horse.
Oh, yeah.
It's a horse laying in the bed and it just gets up and walks.
Oh, that's right.
So random.
Oh, that was great.
Oh, man. Well, I think that's substantial good laughs and stories for an episode.
Absolutely.
That's it for another episode of Tall But True, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. That was fun.
An intimate episode.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. There was lots of accents.
Yeah.
There's a lot of donkeys.
Nice.
Lots of animals.
Moss. Yeah. Swimming. Moss. Swimming. A lot of gads.
So if you haven't subscribed yet, please do subscribe. Go to therealbenbailey.com. Check my tour dates to see when I'm going to be near you. Come out and see a live stand-up show. It is very fun. You can also watch Boam, Badly Written Action Man.
Yes.
Again, all three people at the table are featured in Boam.
That's right.
So you guys better check that out. It's going to be on iTunes pretty soon, hopefully. There's also another short film called Meet Me at Ray's. There are episodes of Speaking of Movies, the podcast that Emma and I did for a while. And
we haven't been doing
we haven't
for
been doing
a
them
while.
For a while, but we're gonna do more at
Ben
some point.
Ben did a lot of touring.
Yeah, I was out doing shows for the Air Force.
So to keep up that schedule.
As well as other ones.
It's a lot to do. Yeah. Two shows a week and to
two
podcasts a week
and to do
all that travel and everything. But so, we are going to do it periodically. We're going to do it when we see a movie that inspires us to do so.
Yeah, just haven't had time to see a movie together.
That's and DC Benny.
Real DC Benny on Instagram and then DCBenny.com. And then Instagram is where I put the dates. And there's stuff on YouTube if you put DC Benny.
If you want to check that out.
Yeah, and there's an article.
And come to our show at the Hollywood Improv.
Yes.
Melrose Avenue in L.A., June 2nd, 8 p.m.
And if you're in New York, come to the Fat Black Pussycat, where we do our live storytelling show, right?
All but true live.
All but true live.
Should we call it that?
Or we haven't really decided
yet.
Call it
the story show. Maybe we should just go all in and call it Tall But True Live.
Well,
maybe. Stay
tuned,
everybody.
Whatever you're feeling like. Yeah, it's good, though.
We'll get back to you on that one.
Yeah, we'll fill you in on the future episodes. Thanks for listening. More Tall But True on the way.